Thank you for joining us today. I wondered if you could just start off talking about, heading into the final leg of the campaign. What are things looking like from your end?
I think things are looking really good for the Green Party. I'm very excited about the potential to see several people elected and that we'll have the first green MLAs in Canada for any province, and I think it will be great for British Columbia.
One of the issues that's come up this election is that both of the major parties, NDP and Liberals, both support natural gas, LNG, and along with that, fracking. You're the only party that I can see in terms of major parties that actually are critical of LNG as an industry in terms of climate change.
Yes, I mean, if we want to take seriously the issues related to climate change, we can't continue to expand the development of fossil fuels, and particularly these unconventional fossil fuels, where the process is really destructive to the land, air, water, and to the health of people and animals in the area. And we're also, in terms of LNG, we are so late in the game that it's simply a pipe dream that we would ever develop the industry to the extent that the BC Liberals propose or even the BC NDP. And so it's clear to us that the real opportunity related to the climate crisis is in the development of renewable energy. And British Columbia has the perfect conditions for geothermal energy, for solar, wind, tidal energy, and we seem to have put up so many barriers to private investment in British Columbia that we have those kinds of companies, those renewable energy companies, abandoning BC, and we think that's where the real investment in the future needs to come from.
How would you exactly do that in government? What would your mechanism be to increase our reliance on alternative energy?
Well, we have to take a look at the process of getting projects through the environmental assessment process in British Columbia. Right now, it's easier to open a mine in British Columbia than it is to get a wind project approved. And so we need to look at comparative legislation, forestry legislation, mining legislation, and make sure that renewable energy companies are not disadvantaged in the process of trying to get investment in BC. We also think that BC Hydro has an inherent prejudice for hydro projects, and the government has an inherent prejudice for LNG. And we would take a much broader look. We would make BC Hydro, for instance, a division of a BC Energy Authority that would really be focused on developing renewable energy. And we would remove the barriers to the amount of energy that we can produce in British Columbia. That's part of the calls for clean power, is limiting the amount of energy that can be created. And if these projects can be done in an environmentally and socially responsible way, and if they're of economic value to BC, we don't see a reason why we would restrict the amount of energy that we develop, because we know that Alberta needs clean energy, as does the Pacific Northwest.
What about fracking? What would your approach be to hydraulic fracturing, where they pump the high pressure liquids into the ground to break up the shale and get natural gas out? What would you do about that?
We're saying that we would put an immediate moratorium on any new exploration and drilling, that we would do a comprehensive mapping of the freshwater resources in the northeastern part of British Columbia. Make sure that we understand what our surface and groundwater is, that we would look at the cumulative impacts of the industry on that area of the province, including on the use of water. We would put a fair price on water. We would increase the royalty rates. We would require that the companies are responsible for the long term, for the maintenance of the wells once the gas has been removed. And that would be applied to existing projects. But no new projects unless we have an environmental assessment process that would suggest that these projects can be done in a way that is not harmful And I simply don't believe that that fracking can be done in a way that's not harmful.
Now, there's obviously an appetite in BC for more progressive environmental policies. But in the last week, we've seen the NDP trotting out some very big environmental activist names to endorse them, saying that the NDP are the ones to support on banning tankers and stopping the Enbridge Northern Gateway pipeline. So, what would you say to voters who are saying, "Well, we need to go to the NDP and rally around them because they're the best chance to stop those projects"?
I would say that if you really want to ensure that the NDP lives up to the perceived promises that they've made, the only way that you can do that is by having some Greens in the legislature who will work to ensure that they do live up to their promises. I think they're perceived promises and not real promises. We know that John Horgan went and visited with Kinder Morgan the day after Adrian Dix made the announcement about Kinder Morgan. I think that Adrian has not been clear about whether or not he supports the pipeline. It seems to me that they focused on the tanker traffic and not the pipeline, and I think there's still some wiggle room in their position to support the pipeline going down to Cherry Point in the U.S. And so if you really believe that we need to have strong environmental legislation, the only way that this party would be held to account is by having Greens there.
Now, my last question, Jane. At the ad put in the paper by the BC Liberals that actually gives you a very prominent place at the top of the ad and in some ways really accurately reflects your party. What would you say to people who are seeing the Liberals trying to leverage the Green vote to split the NDP vote? How do you respond to this very common idea that, of course, the Liberals would love the Greens to be stronger?
Well, I think that when 50% of the people of British Columbia have given up on voting because they're turned off by the antics of the two major parties, that to then spend the last 3 or 4 days of the campaign using those very same tactics that have turned people off is an insult to democracy, and that if people really want change, then they should get out and vote, and they should vote Green in high numbers so that we get lots of MLAs elected. I think that these two parties just don't understand that democracy is about people having a legitimate choice, and that one of the choices that they have in this election is the Green Party.
Well, I really want to thank you for your time. Any last thoughts?
No, it's a very exciting election, David, and we think that on the 14th of May, on Tuesday, we're going to be very happy that, and we hope that the people of Green BC will be happy as well, that we see a number of Green MLAs.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Guests include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independent like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maud Barlow.
I've continued to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
The landscape of change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
and podcasting at w2media.ca.